I'm so glad everyone's here this morning and smiling. Amen. Today is a great day. It really is. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and it's more than just another holiday. It is more than just a day off from work, and it's more than just a day that we can go to the lake or a day that we can have a great barbecue. Those things are good, but it is Memorial Day, and it is the day that we set aside to remember those who have given their lives for the freedom that we as Americans all share. The freedom has never come cheaply, though. More than 1 million Americans have died in wars fighting for the freedom that we enjoy today. In the Civil War, 498,000 Northern soldiers were killed, and over 133,000 soldiers from the South died. In World War I, 116,000 American soldiers died, and in World War II, 407,000 American soldiers died. 54,000 American soldiers died in the Korean War, and 58,000 died in Vietnam. Those are just approximate numbers. 148 servicemen and women died in Desert Storm, and there have been 4,079 American soldiers that have died in Iraq and Afghanistan together. And of course, there's many other small conflicts and skirmishes that have taken place where there's been casualties as well. More than 1 million Americans have died in wars around the world fighting for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. We have the freedom to vote for our leadership in this nation. We have the freedom to debate who we should vote for or not to vote for. We even have the freedom to make fun of those who are running for office. And we have the freedom to say whether we agree or disagree when they win or lose. We also have the freedom to worship or not to worship. But freedom has never been free. Let me say that again. Freedom has never been free. So many times we take it for granted, don't we?
Amen.
And so we gather today to remember that. Remember that as we celebrate this day. Not all of the countries of the world enjoy the same freedoms that we do in America. You know, I've been overseas. I've been in Central America. I was in Honduras in 1989. I was there a month. I got to see things that changed my world because I was sheltered here in Southern Illinois. They don't share the same freedoms that we have. Their definitions of justice is way different than ours, and it's not the same. So believe me when I say that oppression is still rampant in many parts of the world today. And we, as Americans, enjoy the freedom that we have because someone had paid the price for that freedom. Someone gave the ultimate price for that freedom. They gave their life. Freedom's not free, but it comes with a price. And we are here gathered today should never forget. We should never forget the fact that someone gave your life for the freedoms that we have. I've studied the scriptures, and I found that the words remember and remembrance and memorial are all found more than 230 times in the scripture. And God reminded His children in the Old Testament to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt. And I will say, if we remember our history, we were once slave to a king. We didn't have the freedoms that we have today. He also commanded His people to observe certain days as days of remembrance. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, every time we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we are to do it in remembrance of Him. We remember the cross. We remember the sacrifice, the ultimate price that was paid for our salvation. Today and tomorrow in America, people of all ages, all ethnic groups and backgrounds and faiths are joining together to remember the sacrifice that our servicemen and women in wars past and present have made so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Those brave men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I can gather here this morning together. We don't worry about someone coming in and telling us we can't do this. And I thank God for that. But I also thank my relatives in the past that served this country. So we remember today. The Bible says this, no one has greater love than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. In John 15:13. Our servicemen and women have been willing to do that every since the founding of our nation. You've all had friends, family, relatives who have served our country with distinction. So I pray today that we not forget what this day, this weekend, really stands for. That we not forget and we honor those thoughts and those memories. And we do not forget and take for granted that the freedoms that we have. Phil, would you pray for us? Thank you, Phil. Let us stand and take a moment of silence. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I've done many funerals, and that is always a special moment in a funeral. It always touches me. As I said before, not only is it Memorial Day celebration this weekend, but it's also Pentecost Sunday, which is another very special day in our Christian life. Most churches will be celebrating in some way, but most believers in those churches, I don't think, fully understand what Pentecost really means. And there's a lot of churches in our area and around the world, and we pass by them all the time. Some places have churches on every corner, and there's a lot of churches in our area. Very few people enter those churches because statistically we have about 15 to 16,000 people here in Union County alone, but yet less than one-third attend church on Sunday mornings regularly. Less than 5,000 out of 15,000 attend church. So we still have a mission field church. We still have a mission field. When you think about Christmas, you think about the coming baby Jesus. And when you think about Easter, you think about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. But how many are celebrating today the fact that Jesus went back to His glory so that the Holy Spirit of God could come and birth the new church? That's the celebration right there. This is the birth of the church, and we don't want to forget that either. We want to remember that. But not only that, we want to experience that today. How many are celebrating this fact today? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promises to give us power. You will receive power. We are promised power for the purpose of being His witnesses to the world. Also, so that we can overcome the world as He did. The only way that we could overcome the world is through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's the promise that we have to every believer who believes in Jesus. On the day of Pentecost and every day after that, the church should desire the presence of God in our life and willing to allow Him to empower us to do what we need to do and what we're called to do. This morning, the Scripture, it challenges us to allow the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit, and for each of us that profess Christ to be a voice of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, we are told that the Spirit of God desires to dwell within us, to live within each of our lives, to empower each of us. And there are things that you can do yourself because of talents that you have. I could be a great speaker because of talents. I could be a musician because of talents. I can do those things, but without the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, they're meaningless. Jesus, speaking to the people crowded around Him, said there will come a time when His work of redemption is finished on the cross, and that He will go so the Comforter will come. The Comforter here to give us comfort in those times that we struggle. And listen, we'll struggle in life. There's times where we face challenges that we don't know that we can overcome, but that's when the Comforter steps in and says, "I'm here right by your side." Jesus says in John 14, 25 and 26, "All this I have spoken to you while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's that little voice inside that tells you when you do something wrong and then pats you on the back when you do something right. "You have heard me say this," Jesus goes on to say, "you've heard me say this, I am going away and I am coming back to you." Let me tell you, Jesus is going to come back. And I know you've probably heard messages all your life, just like I have, that Jesus is coming back. And yes, He is coming back. The disciples themselves, 2,000 years ago, lived their life like Jesus was coming back any second. Tomorrow, maybe. But He challenges us also to live the same. We don't know the hour of the day, but Jesus is coming back. So when the 120 were gathered in the upper room, they came with a heart of expectation. How many of you got up this morning with a heart of expectation that the Holy Spirit would do something spectacular in your life? How many prayed this morning that when I gather together with my family, my family of believers, that God is going to do something wonderful? The 120 gathered in that room because they believed and they expected God was going to do, Jesus was going to do what He said He was going to do. If you're a believer here this morning, that's what we should live. That's the way we should live our lives, believing that Jesus can do the impossible things. Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection, and 10 days prior to that, Jesus ascended into heaven. And that's when He gave the Great Commission. And believers came with a heart in the upper room to be empowered by the Spirit of God and ready to birth the Church of God. And I wonder what would our world would be like today. What would our churches be like today if everybody got up on Sunday morning expecting God to do something spectacular? If they were ready and willing to allow God to empower them to do the works that God sent us to do. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1 this morning, we read that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who speak Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Phrygias and Egyptians and people from Libya and Cyrene and visitors from Rome and both Jews and converts to Judaism and Cretans and Arabs were here." They could hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Scripture there says they were gathered together. In the King James Version, it says they were in one accord. They were united together. The Holy Spirit came to them as promised. Each one was equipped to speak the truth of God. It is God who equips us to speak the truth. We can't do it on our own. Yes, we can quote Bible scriptures, but without the power of God behind it, it's just words. Inside the upper room, they all received what they came for, the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. And they couldn't understand how this group of believers could all of them could speak in another language. And that's the amazing thing that God can do. They were utterly amazed and they were perplexed. Then the apostle Peter stood up, full of the Holy Spirit and power, told them that these men are not drunk, as you suppose they are. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning, he says. They're empowered by the living God with His Spirit. The words of the prophet Joel says this: in these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. You know, we're living in the day of revival. We need the mighty hand of God to fill His people and empower them to do the work they are called to do. Many times we invite the Holy Spirit, but we invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of what we want to do. When we should be inviting, the Holy Spirit saying, tell me what you want me to do. It all began in the upper room, but these are the days of the prophet Joel foretold about. I believe that the Lord is still calling and sending believers empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to go into the world and to share the good news. He's still drawing His people to Him. He is still commissioning them to speak to the world about the good news of Jesus Christ. He is calling us to devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings as well. Believers filled with the Spirit of God will practice their faith as people who have received His Spirit. In Acts 2:47, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so I find four things within this scripture this morning that I'd like to share. We need to be devoted to the teachings of the Lord, and that's why I promote Bible reading all the time. I encourage you to read your Bibles, to study the scriptures, because what God is calling you to do will be revealed within the scriptures to you. Spirit-filled believers, we will live our lives the life that we profess. We don't live one way at church and another way in the world. We live who we profess to be. And if you're a Christ follower today, I challenge you to live like a Christ follower. We will be willing to share the gospel with everyone that we meet. It's not that we have to beat people over the head with a Bible. I always say it like this: we don't have to cram it down somebody's throat.
Amen.
We just need to be obedient to show people that we live differently, and there's a reason why we're just a little bit different. I believe that Spirit-filled believers will be loving. They'll love people, and they'll love to the things that break God's heart will break their hearts as well. They will be making an impact in the community that God has called them to live in. They will not be satisfied that someone has not heard the gospel. I also believe that Spirit-filled people will want to fellowship with each other. They care about each other more than just a Sunday morning, more than just one day a week. I don't love you guys just on Sunday. I love you guys every day. Spirit-filled people are willing to share of their resources and their talents to each other. Spirit-filled people will imitate friendship when you share a meal together in your homes. Spirit-filled people truly think of their church as a family and not just a place to attend or be entertained. It's a place that we invest ourselves in and we invest in other people for the kingdom of God. Spirit-filled believers will want to worship God. They will desire to worship because they're hungry and thirsty for more of God. When I came this morning, and I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but my desire is I can't wait to get here on Sunday mornings because I love to walk around in the sanctuary so I can just praise God just for a short time even before everybody starts getting here. I desire to praise Him. I desire to bow my head to Him. I desire to lift my hands to Him and pray. I hope that you want more of God this morning. I hope that the desire in your heart is to get a little closer to Him, to be a little bit better today than you were yesterday, to be a little bit better tomorrow than you were today. My hope is that God would pour out His Spirit and lives would be changed this morning. I believe as Spirit-filled believers, we need to pray together. Allow God to mold us as we sing and make us more into His image, not into the image of the world. There's lots of things we see that's not the image that God wants us to be. Believing that what we cannot see is still possible with the Almighty God. We have faith in something unseen. We didn't walk with Jesus like the disciples did, but we have faith in something we've not seen. I have faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, even though I haven't seen the Holy Spirit, but I have felt it. The story is told about a little boy who was flying a kite, and it was a windy day, and the kite kept going higher and higher until finally it just went out of sight. And a guy was walking down the sidewalk, and he looked up and he said, "How do you know that kite's still on your line?" And he said, "Because I can feel it." He could feel it still tugging and pulling. That's how you know the Holy Spirit's living within you. Because He's still tugging and pulling, even though you can't see it, He's still tugging and pulling at your life. Although we cannot see the Holy Spirit, we should be able to sense His work in our lives, changing us into the image of Christ. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody once said, he held up a glass. And you said, "How can I get all the air out of this glass?" One guy spoke up. He said, "Well, you could just take a pump and suck all the air out of it." And many of them replied, and he said, "Well, that would create a vacuum that would shatter the glass." And after numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled and he picked up a pitcher of water and he filled the glass with water. He said, "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out of sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good. So that there's no more room for sin in your life. D.L. Moody also said, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition in the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled." Back in John chapter 16, Jesus addresses the disciples about Jesus going and the Comforter coming. And they had a hard time understanding all that. And I think there's many times in our life we have a hard time understanding all this. We do. I do. I have a hard time understanding everything. And as believers, we must be emptied of ourselves so that we can be filled with Him. He brings comfort in our hearts knowing that we're on the right path. We're all on different levels. But we know, because we can sense the Holy Spirit working in our life, that we're on the right path. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step, to believe in Him. The second step is to trust in Him and know that He would never do things to harm us, but only to help us through hard times in our life and good times in our life. So I would say this morning. Allow Him this morning to be the Lord of your life. Allow Him to fill you to an overflowing with His Holy Spirit today. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and empower you for the days ahead. This Pentecost is the celebration of the Holy Spirit indwelling within us to empower us, to guide us. Because when I'm weak, He's strong. And only in the power of the Holy Spirit can we say that. At my lowest points in my life, I've been the strongest spiritually in my life. God has seen me through. And I trust Him today. And I hope that you do too. Heavenly Father, I thank You again, Lord, for Your wonderful mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit abound here again in this morning. Lord, move in the hearts of those sitting here today. Lord, I pray just a moment, Lord. We're going to baptize Trevor. So, Lord, I pray that, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit work here today. A wonderful moment, a wonderful celebration time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.